Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
It's Orlando and Tony D in for Stokely and Zach. All right, so congratulations to the Nuggets. Their win over the Boston Celtics last night, clinching a playoff berth for the first time since 2013. They're also tied with Golden State for the top spot in the Western Conference. All right, so the Broncos are now the only team that have not reached the playoffs recently. The Avs and the Rockies both made the playoffs in 2018. The Nuggets now have already clinched this year. The last time the Broncos made the playoffs was 2015 when they won the Super Bowl. So how does Denver snap their playoff drought, Orlando?
Man.
Do they?
How do you snap your playoff drought? He starts by winning the division, but...
I think you got to win the division.
I mean... You got two teams that both went 12-4 last year, and I just don't see the Broncos being a 12-4 team this year. You know, at best, I think the Broncos could get to 10 wins, you know, double digits, and get back there. But, I mean, I think that the Chiefs, they have to have a drop-off. I mean, with everything that's going on with Tyreek Hill, and you just lost your two pass rushers in Dee Ford and Justin Houston, and the defense already didn't play good last year. You know, but the Chargers, I believe the Chargers are the team to beat in this division right now. They're the most complete team as far as offense, defense, and special teams. I don't know. I don't know if the Broncos snapped that playoff drought. I mean, this past year, like I said, I mean, the Chargers were in a wild card spot, and they were 12-4.
Right. That meant everybody else that was not winning their division were all playing for one spot.
Yeah.
So as you could be a really good team in the AFC South. You're all playing for just one spot. You're all competing against everybody else for one spot because the Chargers or the Chiefs were getting the other one as good as they were all season. That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of – you need a lot to go your way.
Exactly. So I think that they're going to have to get some more offensive linemen. We're going to need another wide receiver for sure because I – and then we got to go get two stud inside linebackers in order to even compete. To try to go win these football games and to get the double digits. But if it's all going to be on how Patrick Mahomes plays, because if he comes out and has a better season than last year, they're not going to lose a lot of games.
Look out.
I mean,
he's getting free catch up.
Yeah, he threw 50 touchdowns last year. If he throws more than that, I mean, they're just not going to lose a lot of football games. So I don't know how they get back to the playoffs right now, Tony.
The thing about it is this division, and look, it's all on paper, and I know things can change, and teams can have surprising years, and teams can have surprisingly bad years.
Yeah.
But right now, the AFC West is not up for grabs. I mean, it's not. I mean, it's right now the Chargers and the Chiefs. The way we look at it, that's the way it is. There are other divisions where it's up for grabs.
Yeah.
You can look at other divisions and say, look, there's no clear-cut favorite going into the season. That's not the case with the AFC West. And if that is going to hold true, then Denver is going to be playing for a wild card spot with a lot of other good teams that are not going to win the division.
Yeah.
I mean, I look
so, so 10 games might get you that spot.
Well, 10 games. Here's the deal. If you get into the conversation with about 2-3 weeks to go where we're playing the, okay, they need to win out and this team needs to lose and that team needs to lose, then there's always the opportunity, right? I like that about this league. It always keeps you kind of in that. If like 2 weeks out, you're still looking at other angles and how to get in, then that's going to be fine, because if you can win enough games to be in that conversation, then you probably are avoiding a losing season or around a level where you could avoid a losing season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If you could get into that conversation, I think we'd all be happy with that. I mean, yeah, we've been super spoiled and winning the AFC West and being able to get to the second round of the playoffs for many years. But right now, I mean, just as far as having a complete team, having the depth, I mean, the Chargers are at the top. And then you got to look at Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and see, well, what are they going to do? I mean, is Tyreek Hill going to get suspended or what exactly is going to happen? Because that team's a completely different team if Tyreek Hill gets suspended now.
That's absolutely true.
I mean, the Broncos will be able to compete. That's for sure. I mean, they're going to compete with them regardless, but the Broncos might be able to win both those games with Vic Fangio and the defense that he's building and the addition of Kareem Jackson and Bryce Callahan. The Broncos might be able to sweep the Chiefs because of Tyreek Hill, just his absence, you know, just having to worry about Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce. You know, the defense is going to be able to be out there and play with a lot more confidence when you don't have that speedy wide receiver that can literally get behind anybody and and take it over the top. So the Broncos might be able to sweep them at that point. But and now we'd be looking at, hey, you know, Chargers and Broncos. You know, Chargers might win the division, and the Broncos might be able to get in there with one of those wild card get one of those wild card spots.
I use the term happy loosely here. I don't mean everyone's going to be excited or thrilled or happy, because I know it's Super Bowl or bust. But the reality of it is 9-7 conversation for postseason at the end of the year, even if you fall short, at least it's a step in the right direction. Does that calm everything down a bit?
Oh, absolutely. You're going in the right direction. And you know what? 9-7, if you go and play the Chargers, you get a win by the Chargers. And you sweep the Chiefs and you sweep Oakland. I mean, you're in the conversation of getting into the playoffs. I've been on an 8-8 Bronco team that we were in the playoffs in 2011. So, I mean, 9-7, you got to be happy with that. I mean, especially going from 9-7 after the Super Bowl, missing the playoffs, and then 5-11 and missing the playoffs, and 6-10 and missing the playoffs as well.
The good news about this is a league, and you know this well, that where a lot of this conversation, I always love it in April when the schedule comes out and everybody goes win here, lose here, win. Oh, God, it's almost a futile effort. You better be doing it just for enjoyment, because you can't lock those things in at all. You have no idea what things are going to look like in September, October, November. This is a crazy league. Other leagues, you can do that. You can say Golden State should win the West, right, in the NBA. You can say the Yankees and the Red Sox should win the AL East, because they're just teams that are just not going to be competitive, because they can't be competitive because they're doing something different. No. This league, my God, you can go from last to first quickly if things go right.
Oh, look at Cleveland.
Right, I mean, exactly.
And look at the position they're in now. I mean, they're the favorite to win that division. I mean, and 2 years ago, nobody was talking about them.
No, so, nobody.
But everybody does do that, Tony. I mean, I was a guy that did that, too.
Oh,
that,
I do it, too, so I shouldn't comes say out, like I'm like, above
hey,
it all.
Hey, this is a win. Hey, that's a win. Hey, this one's going to be tough. You know, everybody does do it. But the fact of the matter is, you got to go out there and perform each and every week and take care of business. I mean, because if you don't take care of business, you don't even have opportunity. That's what I love about football. It's the ultimate team sport. All 10 guys could be doing the right things, and one guy mess up on that play, and the play has a potential to be disastrous. So the teams that you see that win the football games and go to the playoffs and deep into the playoffs and get to the Super Bowl, those are the most technically sound teams that are in the league. Those are the teams that have that disciplinarian as a coach and are not going to mess up because they've been trained really well, but also they're not going to mess up and let one of their brothers or one of their coaches down as well.
As a player, did you ever look at the schedule and go, oh man, we're going here and here and back-to-back weeks, so we got three out of four road games to close the season? Or do you just go, I don't care, just tell me what I'm doing week by week?
Yeah, I always did look at that, especially for when that week is, there's a week every year that every team has to go through where you'll play like a Sunday game, and then you'll play a Thursday game,
right,
and
yeah,
then
you exactly. play the
and then it's like you're playing like three games in like 16 days, and it's just like, man, I can't wait to get through this stretch because my body's just going to be tore up after this, and then you get a nice little break after because you'd normally end it off on that Thursday game, and you get at least 2 or 3 days off.
All right, register for the Fans 5K Bracket Challenge presented by Breaks Plus. You can compete against us. You can host your office pool and a chance to win $5,000. How great is that? Register at 1043thefan.com. That's 1043thefan.com for the Fans 5K Bracket Challenge presented by Breaks Plus. What is the ceiling for this Broncos team? Well, we'll discuss that next. Orlando and Tony D in for Stokely and Zach. So we've discussed Flacco's pressure, the Vic Fangio pressure. Can the Broncos make the playoffs now that the Nuggets have got a playoff spot, the Avs and Rockies last year, and now the Broncos are under pressure to get a postseason berth? D-Mac and Zach yesterday talked about the potential of this team. Here's what Zach had to say.
This roster currently constructed, the Broncos are more likely to finish 10-6 than they are 6-10. And I know for me personally, you know, the Broncos have made some really nice moves here. I gave John Elway, hey, bravo. You had about $30 million in space, and you got Juwan James, Bryce Callahan, and Kareem Jackson. Huge tip of the cap to John Elway. But the biggest upgrade, without question, year over year, is the quarterback position going from Case Keenum to Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Orlando, do you agree with Zach? 10-6 rather than 6-10?
Yeah, they're closer to 10-6 rather than 6-10, absolutely.
Oh, I agree with that. Do they go 10-6? That's the question.
Do they go 10-6? It's football,
it seems like 10
Tony.
Is like the watermark, right? You got to be a certain level of good to get at least the 10-win mark.
Yeah, no, very true. And you got to be able to win on the road. And that's something that the Broncos for the last 2 years under Vance Joseph has not been able to do, you know, for whatever reason. Whenever they're playing early games on the road, you just kind of chalk that up as, oh, we're going to lose this game. I mean, even games that you expect them to win against the Jets this past year, you saw them lose that game when they're going to the East Coast and then all of a sudden they're playing at 11 a.m. Mountain time. So you got to be able to win games on the road. And with Joe Flacco, you know you're going to be able to win games on the road. I mean, we saw it in his playoff run, and we saw the year that he won the Super Bowl. He won three games on the road against three really great quarterbacks, and so Joe Flacco is going to give you that opportunity to win on the road.
I agree with Zach in a lot of ways. I think there's some great acquisitions here that help this team go. Last year from a 6-10 mark, yeah, they are closer to 10-6. I don't think that you can debate that because I think you look at all the upgrades, right? He's right. Joe Flacco is an upgrade over Case Keenum. You bring in two guys in the secondary that can help you build back a no-fly zone type level defense, right? You have still one of the best defensive players in the league in Von Miller. You still have an offensive line that's needing work, but Juwan James helps in that situation. There's a lot of things to like. The coaching staff is better. The coaching assistant coaches are better. So yeah, there is a ceiling here that I think obviously is much higher than going 6-10. I mean, you could throw a 6-10 season together with almost anything, but I think this is a different level of team. The problem is that I have is, as we talked about earlier, I don't think this division is up for grabs. I think this division is tough. And if you start losing some divisional games, then it's harder to get that the wins outside of the division that you're going to need to get to a 10 win level.
Yeah, you got to be able to win in your division. I mean, the Broncos, at best, you got to hope that you can beat the Chargers at least once. Do I think you're going to sweep them? No, I don't. I mean, the Chargers are the most complete team as of right now, year to date, going into the draft, as far in the AFC West right now. I think the Broncos, depending on what happens with different players in Kansas City, they have an opportunity to sweep KC. But, I mean, can the Broncos sweep Oakland? Yeah. I mean, yep. They definitely can. Oakland's going to be playing a lot of guys. And, they got AB. But, I mean, their offensive line couldn't even protect Derek Carr last year. So, you got Von Miller, Bradley Chubb. I mean, they're going to be – Bradley Chubb's going to be in a sophomore campaign. He's going to be a better player than he was last year. Von continues to play at a high level and get double-digit sacks. So, can you beat Oakland? Can you sweep them? Yes. But you got to find a way – to do what you did last year when it comes to the Chargers and be able to split at least. And if you're able to do that, I mean, you're in good shape. You are absolutely in good shape. Just win the games that you're supposed to. I mean, we were just talking about the last segment that, you know what, does everybody say, hey, you know what, we're supposed to win this game, we're supposed to win that game when that schedule comes out. Yeah, everybody does. But the difference is last year also when we looked at the Broncos schedule, you said that at the start. And then it was rocky. It was you won against Oakland, you won against Seattle, and then you lost to Baltimore, and it was rocky, right? But towards the end of the season, when the Broncos were able to beat the Chargers now, and they were able to beat they were able to beat the Steelers, and then they beat Cincinnati, that's when you're like, man, if they just win these other games, which are very doable, they can make it to the playoffs. So you do have those times where you got to go win the games that you're expected to win, because that's what your playoff hopes rely upon. And the Broncos are a better team than they were last year. They got better talent in here. They got a better person running that quarterback position. But they also got a better scheme with the offensive coordinator that's going to be able to hide some things and put these guys in better position. They're not going to be one-dimensional like they were last year when you knew, hey, it was third down, that Case Keenum was going to basically just drop back and he was going to throw the ball to short of the sticks. Or hey, on this reverse action, they're either handing the ball off to Emmanuel Sanders or Emmanuel Sanders is going to throw off of that. That was too predictable last year. At least now we know with the Broncos that they're not going to be predictable week in, week out, and they're going to have a younger, innovative guy, Rick Scangarello, running this offense, but also Joe Flacco, that understands how to win in this league and understands what it takes to go down there in those crunch time moments and be able to pull out a victory for his teammates.
And doesn't the part of the ceiling conversation for this team go from the fact that a lot of these changes are either A, comfortable, meaning I'm okay with it, I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm okay with it, too, I'm excited about it, whether it's a coaching change or Flacco at quarterback or what the secondary is going to look like or whatnot, or what the draft may produce with the 10th pick overall. There's things to be excited about rather than things to be oh, cautious about it. That could really hurt us.
Yeah.
It seems like more or less the conversations are always leaning towards this is a great addition or this is a great change, or at least I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah, this is the excitement time of football. This is absolutely the excitement time. The free agency, the draft, and then the OTAs. That's the exciting part. When you get into the season, the only time when you're like, oh, man, we should be cautious is when you're in two-a-days in training camp and you're going full speed and you don't want to hurt a guy because you know this guy's going to make the team, but you still want to get your work in. That's the cautious part of football. But as far as the excitement part, when you're bringing in free agents and you're getting ready to draft guys and you're evaluating people, you're excited about that as a player, as a guy that a fan from the outside in, but more so as a player. I mean, I've always been excited about a guy that we brought in because I was like saying, hey, this guy could help us win football games. Let's see what this guy's made of when he gets there.
All right, the contracts that the Broncos have given out in free agency, could they come back to haunt them? We'll see here what Greg Rosenthal had to say from NFLs.com. We'll evaluate that from Orlando and my perspective coming up next. Fred Orlando, Franklin, and Tony D in for Stokely and Zach. NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal examining the contracts that the Broncos just gave out. He's got his best and his worst. Of the two worst, he said James and Jackson's deals were the worst, whereas Bryce Callahan's deal was one of the best. So, Orlando, from Juwan James' standpoint, 4 years, $51 million, 32 guaranteed. Do you agree with the assessment that this may not be the best deal?
A little bit, yeah.
From a team perspective.
I mean, from a team perspective, it might not be the best deal money-wise. I mean, is he a great player? Yes. Is he talented? Yes, but that's only when he's available. I mean, Juwan James came into the league in 2014, was drafted in the first round by the Miami Dolphins, played 16 games that year. The following year, played 7 games. The following year in 2016, plays 16 games again. In 2017, plays 8 games. And in 2018, last year, plays 15 games. So by the history and what has, you can only go by a person's history, it looks like he's available for 16 and all the games 1 year. And then the next year, he only plays half the year. So if you're able to keep him healthy, it's a great deal. If he's able to play 16 games all for the next 4 years of this deal, it's a great deal for the Broncos. He's young at being only 26. I mean, he shows some great movement and he has great hands and he has the athletic ability, whether to play right tackle or left tackle. So that would be a great thing. But the thing that I do like mostly about this deal that the Broncos gave him, it's $13 million a season, but in year 3 in 2021, he has a $5 million guarantee. And the reason why I like that the most is because if he does get hurt, say, the end of next year, or he's hurt like Ron Leary has been the last 2 years for the Broncos after signing that huge deal for the Broncos 2 years ago, in 2021, you could get out of that deal for $5 million and basically get back $8 million to now spend and go get other people. Ron Leary's deal now, that he had a $6 million injury guarantee, which is 75% of his $8 million that he's due this year. So Ron Leary got that injury guarantee this past week. So the Broncos were almost tied to him now because if you cut him, you're paying him $6 million and you're only getting back 2 deals. So it looks like John Elway and upper management has learned from their lesson and learned from bringing in Ron Leary a few years ago that hasn't been healthy for the Broncos the last couple of years, where now with Juwan James, they said, hey, we're only going to give him a $5 million injury guarantee. So if things don't work out the right ways, we could get out from underneath that contract and now take $8 million and go help throw that at other positions for this team to get this team better.
So the $13 million that you mentioned before, which is what has been described as Pro Bowl level for a player for that right tackle position, that's not a problem given that he's not yet a Pro Bowl level player?
Hey, that's what happens, Tony. When you get to free agency and you have a need like the Broncos have at right tackle position, having 11 different guys in the last 5 years start at right tackle at some point during games, you got to go get a guy that you got to make it enticing. You got to make it appealing for a guy to come here and sign with you in free agency, especially when other teams are bidding.
Orlando, do you have an analysis as to why that right tackle position has not worked for Denver for, oh, God, since Manning was around?
I mean they moved me and didn't resign me. I mean,
yeah,
what do you mean?
That's a good point.
I like that answer right off the bat, Orlando.
That was quick, you were ready for it.
I was the guy, you know. I mean, I try not to say it, but it is true. I mean, The Broncos have had 11 different right tackles over the last 5 years since I've moved from right tackle to left guard. That's just the truth of the matter. I mean, the last person that played right guard multiple seasons, was able to play each and every week, 16 games in a season, was me at right tackle position for the Denver Broncos. And that was in 2013. I mean, that's how long ago it was. So, but I mean, enough of tooting my own horn. But it is a hard position to address. I mean, your right tackle needs to be your mauler. He's your guy that's going to, that you want to run your double teams off of, and you want to run the ball to the right majority of the time because he's a thicker guy. And for whatever reason it may be, the Broncos thought that they had the problem solved when they saw Donald Stevenson of the Kansas City Chiefs before, right, being that he wasn't a starter, but they thought they could make him into the starting right tackle. Well, that didn't work. And then they try to do another Band-Aid fix with Metalik Watson a few years ago at the right tackle position. Well, that didn't work because you paid him last year to hang out at home and basically not play a single game. He was there for training camp. He got paid, what, $5 million last year to go to training camp for the Denver Broncos? So it's been consistently Band-Aid fixes at that position. They haven't looked to address that position with guys that have played a lot of football games in this league. Donald Stevenson, Metalik Watson, those guys didn't play a lot of football games in this league. They had Jared Valdir, who had just moved to right tackle. He spent 1 year playing the position in Arizona, then got hurt, was put on IR. But that wasn't going to be a long-term solution. That was a Band-Aid fix. It was literally 1 year that he did that. So the guys that they're bringing in are just guys that haven't played the position for a long period of time and haven't been available guys that week in, week out at that position. This Juwan James signing now is a guy that, although, yeah, you know, in 2015, he only plays seven games. In 2017, he only plays eight games. He still has played and started 62 games in this league at that right tackle position. So he's a guy that you actually could really get an evaluation of. You know, you weren't able to evaluate Metalik Watson. You weren't able to evaluate Donald Stevenson because those guys were backups. And what we saw is the exact same thing that they did with Ron Leary. I mean, he was a backup for the Dallas Cowboys. Then the Broncos went and said, hey, you know what? We're okay with seeing you play that 1 year with Dallas where you were a full-time starter. We love what you did. So the Broncos now extended him a huge contract, and then he just has been hurt the last couple years here and is still hurt, and now they can't get rid of him. They're forced to play with them this year. When you're evaluating guys in free agency, Tony, you got to have the film to be able to evaluate. So that's why I'm okay with the signing of Juwan James, because, hey, you have the film. You have 62 games that you could watch, where Donald Stevenson, you didn't have nowhere near that. Metalik Watson was a complete backup. There was people laughing when the Broncos decided to pick up Metalik Watson. And, you know, the other guys were just older guys that played that position, and they were ultimately Band-Aid fixes. It was going to be a 1 year at max that they would have played that position. Right tackle for the Denver Broncos.
All right, let's go to Kareem Jackson for a second, because one of the things Rosenthal points out is, okay, look, the Houston didn't offer him a contract. He's 31 years old. But the problem he has with the contract is the flexibility. It's $23 million guaranteed over the next two seasons. Does that really make this one a bad deal for Denver?
No, it doesn't, because how I look at it is that he's going to get $11.5 million for 2 years. And if Kareem Jackson comes in and he doesn't play up to par, you have your solution for when Will Parks or Justin Simmons walks out the door, because you're going to have to throw a boatload of money at Chris Harris Jr. this year and to keep him here. So you have that flexibility now to move Kareem Jackson to that safety position if he doesn't pan out at the cornerback position. But I don't know why he would not, because when I cut the tape on from Kareem Jackson's rookie year and I cut the tape on from last year of him playing in this league, it's the same guy. Mm-hmm. High intensity, flies around, is not afraid to play in the box, can cover wide receivers, can cover running backs out of the backfield, has great instincts, flies, comes downhill, and is not afraid to just lay his body out there and make the huge hit. So I'm definitely okay with the Kareem Jackson signing, because he's going to bring that attitude also to that defense. I mean, you're looking at a guy that had 70 tackles last year. Tony, literally 70 tackles. If he was on the Denver Broncos roster, he would have been third on this roster in tackles last year.
Right.
So, and that is in year nine. And I get the Houston Texans didn't sign him back, but they might think that, hey, you know what? We don't want to bring him back. We have other needs elsewhere. But, hey, he's a great addition for the Denver Broncos because of how versatile he could play, but also his ability to tackle, especially in a defense, in a Vic Fangio-style defense, where tackling is non-negotiable. He's a great addition for the Broncos because of that. He likes to tackle.
You brought up Chris Harris Jr. We know that they're going to have to pay him, but how much of a mistake did the Broncos make by not getting something done?
They haven't made a mistake yet. Chris Harris understands you got to get better in free agency. When you walked into free agency, you only had two cornerbacks on the team. Chris Harris knows that, hey, there's been 11 different right tackles. We needed to get Joe Flacco in here, a quarterback to compete. So you're not in a rush to do that right now. But after the draft, you better start opening talks because you can't let this thing get away from you. You got to throw something at him and throw an extension and throw some kind of number of where you value him at least by the end of training camp, because if you don't open up talk sell the season starts, if I'm Chris Harris, I just feel completely disrespected and I'll just play out my last season and wait till it becomes a bidding war for other teams, because you never really want to wait on guys that you developed or drafted or had in your organization the whole time, because you don't know how they're going to perceive that. You know, they can perceive it as being disrespectful, or they can perceive it as what the Broncos might want them to think as, hey, you know what, we're just trying to get better other positions right now first, but we're going to extend you at some point. But they shouldn't wait past training camp to throw that first initial offer out there on the table so Chris Harrison, his agent, could evaluate it.
All right, Bryce Callahan's deal, Rosenthal thought was one of the better ones for the Broncos. 3 years, $21 million, $10 million of that guaranteed. I definitely agree with that. I think it is one of the better signings.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a great signing. I mean, there's $10 million guaranteed. So essentially, you could have him for 1 year for $10 million if that's the case. If you decide to keep him for 3 years, you're only paying him about $7 million a year. So it's a great deal because he played under Vic Fangio. He played under Ed Donatell. You got a guy that literally, you know, you just brought in Ed Donatell to be your defensive coordinator. Well, Bryce Callahan has been in meeting rooms with Ed Donatell each and every day. They know each other. I mean, I'm sure if Bryce Callahan has kids, I'm sure Ed Donatell knows him. Right. Bryce Callahan knows Ed Donatell's kids. You know, that's who you spend majority of your time with is your position coach. And that was his position coach while he was in Chicago. So it's a great signing, especially to be able to get guys like Will Parks, Justin Simmons, Sua Cravis, Chris Harris, Kareem Jackson, get those guys up to speed in a Vic Fangio defense, because Bryce Callahan has been in it his whole NFL career.
Earlier, I asked you about a grade, right? Let's go with all of the things from the coaches to Flacco to the signings, all of that. It was B-. In what would it take for you to get that up to an A, maybe a B+, A-? What would be a one or two transactions that the Broncos need to address to get that up in Orlando Franklin's mind?
You got to address that middle linebacker position. And I know that you could do it through the draft, but you got to be able to address that as soon as possible. And you got to do it with your 10th overall pick. Because right now, if the Broncos were to play a game tomorrow, they don't have a linebacker that could be on the field for all three downs. And if you don't have a linebacker to be on the field for all three downs, now who wears the green dot and calls this defense for the Denver Broncos? A safety? You can't do that. I mean, we've never seen that. You know, your linebacker's the guy that calls the plays, gets everybody aligned, and has the coach in his ear. So the Broncos need to go and get that guy, especially when I just look at the traditional Vic Fangio's defense. I look at Danny Trevathan and the other linebacker they had there. Sorry, I don't know. I forgot his name last year Danny Trevathan and Danny Trevathan and the guy that they had in Chicago last year, not Brandon Marshall. Roquan Smith. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Roquan Smith. Man, brain fart right there. But
no worries.
I look at Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith. You know, those are two stud inside linebackers. Those guys could have the possibility to go and be a Pro Bowl type player because of Vic Fangio and what he brings, and also the type of linebackers that they are. But then Patrick Willis and Navarre Bowen, while Vic Fangio was in San Francisco, those were year after year, those guys Pro Bowl, all pro. You just automatically, you just guarantee that Navarro Bowne and Patrick Willis were going to the Pro Bowl each and every year while they were under Vic Fangio. I mean, we don't have that guy right now on the Denver Broncos. And he's always had two. And we don't even have one right now. So they need to address that inside linebacker position, and they need to get two guys that could play all three downs. Unfortunately, we don't have a guy right now. And another position that would have brought that grade up for me was if the Broncos took a real strong look at a guy like Jared Cook instead of re-signing Jeff Hireman.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff Hireman has had a ton of injuries over his career, where Jared Cook has been very productive, especially in his last couple years. I mean, he's 31 years old and made it to a Pro Bowl last year. We've struggled at that tight end position. The Broncos haven't had a really good tight end since Owen Daniels the year they won the Super Bowl. And then before that, they were really spoiled. Jacob Tammy, Julius Thomas, Virgil Green, Joel Dreesen, those guys just were rolling with Peyton Madden. And you know Joe Flacco loves the tight end as well. So who are we going to bring in to be able to address that position? Right now they have not really addressed that position. I know we just signed Jeff Hireman, but he doesn't strike me. He doesn't get me enthusiastic. I mean, he's a guy that's got hurt every year. He's getting ready to go in his fifth year. How available he's going to be, we have no idea.
It is amazing when you look at how mock drafts evaluate based on what teams can do in the offseason. And that's why you really, you know, kind of take them as tongue in cheek when they come out early. Because when the Broncos didn't have a quarterback and nobody knew what was going to go on with Case Keenum, it was, oh, they love Drew Locke. They're going to take Drew Locke or whatever quarterback is available there. All right, and then Joe Flacco comes and that sort of changes. Well, maybe the secondary needs some help and Greedy Williams is going to be available. They could take him. And then maybe not so much because they sort up the secondary. Now it's linebacker, right? Devin Bush, Devin White, there are possibilities for the Broncos. Yeah. So always kind of wait to see what teams are doing and how they're addressing certain needs before you start looking at mock drafts and sort of locking things in place, because teams are going to go to the offseason and try to figure out how to solve it before they go to the draft. And now they go to the draft, now that's changed.
Yeah, now they have a plan. You know, you have a plan at first when the offseason initially starts. And they were able to address some of those needs. They addressed that defensive back room. They addressed the right tackle position that they have had turmoil at for the last couple of years. They addressed the quarterback situation and getting a quarterback that's going to compete a little bit better, well, a lot better than Case Keenum did last year. So they've addressed some positions and were able to, because, you know, that's a money thing, Tony. You know, the Broncos only have so much money to spend in free agency. If they could have spent the money for a guy like CJ Mosley, yeah, they would have absolutely have done that. But then what do you do? I mean, now you're not able to get a guy like Kareem Jackson. Now you're definitely not able to get a guy like Juwan James. So you got to pick and choose your battles. So as the offseason goes and goes, it changes each and every week of as far as what your need is. And free agency is the first time that you're able to address some of your needs. And the Broncos did that. They had some great sign-ins. But now you got to look to address your other needs through the draft this year.
All right, Orlando and Tony D in for Stokely and Zach. Hey, I wanted to ask you about the, because, you know, you're filling out a bracket for this 5K challenge for the fans.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you. If I were to give you, since you're a Miami Hurricane, if I were to give you advice and say, hey, Florida State's pretty good, you should pay attention to them. Is that something you can do?
Yeah, when it comes to basketball, okay. Yes.
All right, it comes to basketball. If it was football, forget it. Yeah, but if it's basketball, it's okay?
Yeah, if it's basketball, I mean, you got to think about it. When I was at Miami, they absolutely sucked in basketball.
That's
and then
true.
They started getting better, and we made it to the tournament a couple of years in a row. And then all of a sudden now we're back in the NIT. So, I mean, it's just different. I mean, it's a roller coaster ride. So basketball, I would take the advice, but I would never take any advice or any suggestions when it comes to Florida State or Florida when it comes to football.
All right, I just want to make sure, because I was going to give you the Florida State advice, and I said, well, I don't want to have it fall on deaf ears if he's going to block me out with that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, man. Like
no
I
problem.
Said, I'm open to all suggestions.
I love this, the fact that you've never filled out. I feel like I'm so excited about seeing where you're going to go with this and how good you're going to do.
Yeah.
I really am.
I mean, I'm hoping for that beginner's luck. That's what I'm really hoping for, you know, because I've always been able to do really good at things with the first time. And, you know, last year we had the King Supers fan pick'ems during the season, and Sandy was my host. And,
Nice.
Every week that a person, whatever team won, got the most games right, they were able to get lunch throughout the week from King Supers, and it was awesome because, you know, we got lunch a few times. I mean, we definitely weren't at the top because Stokely and Zach, I think, had that. You know, I think they must have probably won about 8 weeks out of the 16, but we got there about four or five times, so we weren't at the bottom, that was for sure. I don't even know if the morning show or Cecil and them ever won in a day show, so we were able to get it done. So I had that beginner's luck last year with the fans, King Super Pick'ems. I'm hoping that I'm going to have that beginner's luck this year now with the bracket.
All right, years ago I was working in a station here in Denver, and I had a producer, and the producer loved college basketball, and he worked on his bracket. I mean, he worked on it, Orlando. He went and found the statistics and the defensive efficiencies, how good they shot the three, right? And he broke down every game, and he said he took hours to complete this bracket for our office, for our fun little office pool. And I got so frustrated because I know how this tournament is. I know it's not about that. It's really about just randomly going, boom, I like that team. I like that team. Boom, I'll take this one. They're a little higher seed. I like their color. I like where they're located. It's really about a guessing game. So I told him, I said, listen, you're going to do all of that, and that's a waste of time. I've got a five-year-old daughter. She's going to beat you at this. I brought her in. We even filmed it just so we didn't know there was no, you know, everything was on the up and up. I filmed her making every pick. I would give her two teams, and I would just say, baby, pick one of them. Just all you want you to do is just name one of them. And she did. So we entered her into the – now, this was a station filled with hosts who knew all about college basketball, right? Broke down college basketball games. Five-year-old won the whole thing.
Beginner's
luck.
She won
the whole thing.
That's what I'm hoping for.
That's right.
So you're telling me there is a chance.
There's a chance, Orlando. Not only here's what it was. She loved saying the word UConn. Yeah. That's all. So I would say UConn, Belmont, or whatever it was, and she would go UConn. Yeah. And so every time she would say UConn, she loved saying it. And they won. They beat Butler for the national title.
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
So that's the story I tell people when I give them brackets and they go, oh, I don't know anything about college basketball, or I've never done this before. I go, yo, my daughter didn't know two teams on this thing. She won the whole thing.
And is she available for a conference call?
Right.
She's
a teenager now. She thinks she knows basketball, but she doesn't. Yeah. I said, you were better at a five-year-old as when you were a five-year-old.
No, that's awesome. I mean, that's what I'm hoping for.
That's right.
Beginner's luck. And I'm just going to go in there and just pick. And, you know, obviously I know that has always been some kind of upsets in the first round where a 12 will beat like a 4.
Yeah,
and
right. 12,
so I'm
going
to make sure that I have a couple of those in there, you know, one or two or three of those in the first round. And then after that, I mean, we'll see what happens.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking forward to seeing who you have and when it's all said and done. Here's what I get run into problems with. Sometimes I'll take an upset and then I realize, oh, shoot, that's not going to work out because that means this team is going to win that region. And I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I just go with it. I just say, you know what? I'm not going to correct it. This is how I rolled. I filled it out. And this is how it's going to be. So,
yeah. No, you gave me something here earlier. You know, I'm going to take a look at Florida State.
Take a look at Florida State.
See
I like
who
them
they
a lot.
Got going on and see how far I could push them along through the bracket. So I'm definitely going to look at that.
Everyone's going to take Duke, by the way. That's everybody's role.
Oh, I am
Zion
too.
Williamson. So everyone's going to do that.
I am too.
It's hard not to, right? You don't want to be. You want to take a risk, but you don't want to take that big of a risk.
Yeah.
If everyone's going to get the championship points, if they do win and they are favorites, then you want to get those championship points too, and hope you win it on the back end where you picked more of the games behind them than in front of them.
Yep.
And that's the risk. So, but I'm looking forward to seeing how you do in this thing because that's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, so, I'll keep you posted for sure.
Please do. I love
it. I mean, I'm hoping and praying, so hopefully I'm able to get that win. I just want the bragging rights. Everybody's
so
competitive here as a fan, and you want to walk by people. I mean, literally, just be able to talk about people while you're on your show and just let them know that they lost to me. So I'm looking for the bragging rights.
I got you, my friend. Good working with you as always, Orlando.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tony. Have a nice day.
All right. The Drive is coming up next.